It's Friday, May 23rd, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today, we're continuing our studies in Matthew chapter 13. We're looking at verses 44 through 52 with part one of a message titled, Valuing What Matters Most.
God's people hear the word, they understand the word, they believe the word, they grow, they bear fruit, and they make then the things of the kingdom of God their great treasure in this life. Blessed are you when these things are true. In other words, if these things are true, that is evidence that God has blessed you, first and foremost. You don't earn that blessing.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
Well, I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 13 this morning. We are working through this book, and if you're a visitor, we're continuing our expositional study through the book of Matthew, and this morning we come to verses 44 to 52. 44 to 52. Context, we just concluded looking at the parable of the wheat and the tares. And of course, the development of the kingdom in the midst of that is the mustard seed and the leaven was put in the middle. And then we had the explanation of the wheat and the tares. Now we conclude this section of parables that Matthew has put together under the inspiration of the Spirit. And it's important to see that structure. This morning, again, at verse 44, page 974, we begin the reading of the Word of God. We'll read to the end of the chapter, even though the text will end at 52. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good in the containers, but threw away the bad, so it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. And when Jesus had finished these parables, he went away from there, and coming to his hometown, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and in his own household. And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. There we'll end the reading of God's word this morning. We've been looking at, in our study of the parables, that the intention of giving these parables was to both reveal and to conceal. That has been surprising. That's why I read the difficult parable of Luke 16. You need explanation for that. Nobody's just going to get that on a surface level of hearing until the Spirit reveals these things to us. With Jesus present on earth, he has told us, remember, in all the responses that had happened, that the kingdom of God had come upon them. It's a thunderous statement that he made in the previous chapter. If I do these things by the power of the Spirit, the kingdom of God has come upon you. After a series of rejections, he began to speak in parables in chapter 13. It was a crucial shift in the book, and we've been looking at the reason for this, revealing and concealing, but even more was given to encourage us when Jesus said, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Clearly election's there. Clearly sovereign discretion is there. Clearly the Lord is opening up the mysteries of the kingdom for his sheep. And he says, to understand these things, you are blessed. And that's why that question at the end of these parables is so important, isn't it? Do you understand these things, he said? Yes. It means you're blessed. You're blessed of God to understand the mysteries of the kingdom, which means you're a hearer of the word. You're a good soil of the word. You're a wheat in his kingdom. So this is all encouraging in that regard. In the first parable, the most important of all parables, you remember, in the parable of the soils, he explained the different kind of responses in the kingdom of God, the different kinds of hearers in the kingdom, and why not everyone hears the word in the same way. He explained the different soils of the human heart, the path, the thorns that choke. But you remember then he followed up saying there's a good soil that hears and bears fruit, some 30, 60, and 100 fold. And then he followed it up with another parable about the kingdom, the mystery of the kingdom, that growing together in the kingdom, as we looked at last time, are wheat and tares growing up together until the final judgment. And we have to understand that. We have to appreciate that. That's why there's so much conflict in this. That's why there's so much difficulty. It's serious warfare, and an enemy has planted in the kingdom tares that cause all kinds of problem. But in the midst of that, he explained the growth of the kingdom. And we're patient because those little mustard seeds at some point sprout. And we have to be patient in God's work because he's not going to let one of his wheat be uprooted. So it's really powerful what we've looked at. Well, now we close out really with four more short parables here. This chapter, concluding remarks are given about the parables and the responsibility of the apostles as they've heard all these things, as they've understood all these things. What does that mean for us? Do you understand all this that's being preached to you? Well, then what does that mean for you? Why does it matter? Very important question that every preacher has to ask when he comes to a text. And that's another aspect as this closes out, Matthew showing the structure of the aim of Jesus in terms of purpose for them as his apostles and of all workers in his kingdom. He will apply it this way, which is important. Jesus is aiming now here at the end because these last parables, he's just speaking to his disciples, not the crowds. These last parables are really kind of aimed at the nature of the ministry to help his disciples understand what they're up against, what their responsibilities are as he sends them out. So today we close out our study in this group of parables, this grouping, and the major theme, the major issue that's in front of us is, couldn't be put in a question, how will the kingdom of God be valued in this age? How will the kingdom of God be valued in this age? How do you value it? What kind of place does it have? If you were to follow the train of thought, God's people hear the word, they understand the word, they believe the word, they grow, they bear fruit, and they make then the things of the kingdom of God, they're a great treasure in this life. Now, this is not foreign to Jesus' teaching. Where your treasure is, said Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, which you really do see the Sermon on the Mount playing out in all of Matthew. It's really remarkable how he's taking all the themes of the Sermon on the Mount and putting them then into practice and application as he is on the mission field, if you will, in Israel. Jesus uses, did you notice here in this grouping, treasure twice, the word treasure. At the beginning here, he mentions treasure in verse 44, and then at the end of the parables, he mentions treasure again in verse 52. So this is a crucial theme that Jesus is working with here, treasure. Now, I know this is incredibly hard for us. In fact, impossible, I'll just say. Jesus is not saying anything that we're about to look at here to say you get saved by the degree to which you treasure the kingdom. I find daily, like you do, the struggle against treasuring other things than Christ. We all do. What I'm about to describe today cannot be separated then from the blessedness that Jesus has pronounced throughout this section on parables. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they see. Whatever's described here has to come with that same blessedness. Without that blessedness, we'll never treasure what's most important. And remember, blessedness, that as Jesus uses it, is not how we think. I will be blessed. If I do this, then I will be blessed. Jesus is not pronouncing blessing that way. Jesus is saying, blessed are you when these things are true. In other words, if these things are true, that is evidence that God has blessed you, first and foremost. You don't earn that blessing. The parable now that follows, the explanation of the weeds and the tares, are given to the disciples, these parables. And the first two make the same basic point. Look at verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. What a little parable. I could have preached a whole sermon on this. I read recently what was called the Great Kentucky Hoard. A farmer was plowing in his field. Did you hear this story? When he stumbled on a cache of Civil War era gold coins with an estimated value of $3 million. Why can't I ever find that stuff? You know, it's like, what in the world? Details in the article said about exactly where the coins were found and who found the coins have been kept secret. Well, of course. You know, so you never know where he found those coins. Maybe it wasn't on his field. Whatever the case, in this parable, the man is thinking, he stumbles on this massive find of treasure. He's thinking, there's got to be more on this field. There's a dream that we all kind of have that's built into us this way. It's just to find a treasure like that. That's the most thrilling, that's the most exciting thing that could be, right? I mean, I see people on the beach all the time with those hovering things. It looks ridiculous, but they do it. For some of us, it's just the deal, maybe. For some of us, it's like the coupon. You see what's built into this? Treasure. Treasure. Imagine finding something of inestimable value in life that would become the single great treasure of your life. And that's what's described here. A man is on a field in those days because of wars and raids. They would bury treasures. It's just what happened with the Civil War coins. No bank to put them in. Well, this man finds a treasure like this in a field he's renting, and who knows, maybe he's renting it, I don't know, he covers it up. He covers up the treasure right away because he knows if he has rights to that treasure, he's got to buy the field. And so, notice what it says. Notice how much Jesus crams into one sentence here. With great joy. He's so excited. He's driven. He's full of ambition now all of a sudden. Notice, he goes and sells everything he has and buys that field. Nothing else in this life is as valuable as that field, says Jesus. He's willing to give everything else away just to have that field. All he has. How many things in life have you done that for? People have a lot of ambition for acquisition, for buying and selling. We put a lot of energy into that, don't we? People have ambition for what they love. People have ambition for what they treasure, don't they? Of course. I'm one of those guys. I mean, I pretty much, if I want something in this life, I've gone 100 miles an hour just to get it. I was going to get through seminary in 3 years, and I did it. Because I didn't want to be in seminary. I wanted to preach. Ambition. It's like Ted Turner. It's just a remarkable, the man has 2 million acres, you know, from Montana to Texas. He has bought up America. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like that. What does that mean? Well, the same point is made in the parable that follows. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Pearls were from the Persian Gulf. They found them in the Indian Ocean. Only the rich could afford them. A merchant here is described as a collector of pearls. He's amassed pearls. It's amazing what people will collect, by the way. I've seen some of the most ridiculous collections, if you ever watch Pawn Stars, of what people store up in their homes. They're poor wives, these guys. All this junk of foolish things that they collect. But this is kind of important. A pearl? One day he saw a pearl like he had never seen before. It was unlike any other pearl. I found the mother pearl. I found the pearl. This is it. I've got to have this pearl. I'll sell everything else just to get that pearl. It's what I've been searching for my whole life. And so he sold every other pearl that he had collected in his life, and then he bought that one. Now, what are we describing here? What is Jesus describing here? That's the important thing for understanding, right? Do you understand this, said Jesus. Do you understand this? He's describing the joy of those who found the kingdom of God. Think of what people give all their energy and time to in life. Parse it out a bit. Remember what I read about Luke 16, the Pharisees who were what? Lovers of money. Heard this and they ridiculed him. Jesus here is capturing something so opposite of that. The kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God is describing the Lord's rule over everything. And that kingdom is present with Christ on earth. And now that he's been seated, and the kingdom comes to expression in our coming, in our following of Jesus Christ. That's where we see it. If you press me on the details here, this is, and I don't think parables are always meant to do that, but I think you can do that. They give you freedom. Notice here, it's like when one discovers the gospel. When one discovers the pearl of great price in this life, the treasure hidden in the field is Christ, if you will. It's Luther. He couldn't believe what he had found that was buried under, for so many years, human tradition. Buried in Roman tradition was the gospel. Think about looking down at a pile of pure gold of inestimable value. And how hard that is to find in this world. Remember the gold rush? It was a hard life. All these people rushing to find gold. Stories are something. But when they found it, it wasn't so happy for them, was it? Jesus says, when they found this treasure, joy. Everything changed. And this is, see, the truth of what's happening, of what we get to preach. Christ has come. Christ is salvation. He's our everything. I had an encouragement from a pastor this past week who sent me a message and said, out of the blue, just at the right moment, I pray this week that you would find great joy in your work and that you would find great delight in Christ. That's a word fitting in season, you know. Well, he is bringing in a kingdom and he is reigning over all. Think of all we're worried about, and it's the sweetest thing. It means salvation. It means the forgiveness of sins. It means gracious provision for the worst of sinners, for the guiltiest of sinners. It means that he's committed to shepherd us all through our lives. It means that he's committed to guide us and lead us to a heavenly home. This is the pearl. I found the pearl hidden and buried in this field. The point is, what is described here is somebody found what is most valuable in life. Most precious. And anything that would get in the way of that, anything that would interfere, is sold and gone. Now, is that not true of you? I'm not speaking of perfection here. I know you're sinners. I'm just asking the basic question, is it not true of you? We may love our homes. We may love the things that we have at times, position. But can't you say that if Christ took it all away in a moment, that is not what you live for? I think you can. I think you can. And that's a blessedness that's come on you. Remember, Jesus said, everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. So you would. You'd let it all go in a moment.
Well, that's all the time we have for you today here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We're glad you joined us. We hope you'll join us next time for part 2 of this message in Matthew chapter 13. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you.